Loosen a little our grip, O Lord, on our words and our ways, our fears and our fretfulness, that finding ourselves found in you, we may venture from the safety of the shore and launch afresh into the waters of grace, with Jesus, the bright morning star, as our guide. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. When I was in college, I remember attending Christmas Eve services at St. Paul's Episcopal Church in downtown Winston-Salem, North Carolina. And one of the head ushers always stood out on that holy night, and after I figured this out, I could look forward to this every year. He could be seen marching up and down the aisles in some of the most wonderfully outrageous Christmas trousers that you have ever seen in your entire life. I will say one of our ushers tonight has pants on that have black Labrador retrievers with little Santa hats, if you missed that on the way in. But that usher at St. Paul's, it was surely the only time of the year that he would have dared to wear, you know, that kind of clothing in church. It wasn't kind of, you know, his usual thing to do. And of course, he wasn't alone on Christmas Eve. There was lots of other playful attire in the pews on people who would normally be dressed rather conservatively, to say the least. My former boss, who is now the Bishop of Southern Virginia, has a similar and very fond memory of a guy who would wear the same socks to one of his former churches every Christmas Eve, showing them off at the door as he greeted the clergy. The socks were green with little silver bells all over them, and so he would jingle as he walked around the church on Christmas Eve. Christmas brought out something that was very playful in him, the very same thing that we see in children, not only on Christmas Eve, but other times as well. Now, more than a few of you here tonight understand that sense of playfulness. As usual, our decoy ducks in the fountain in Palmer's courtyard are dressed up for the Christmas season with bright red bows around their necks. If you've never seen that, that's quite a sight to see. And I'm sure that there are some candy cane neckties, bow ties with lights, Santa pins that play music, and red and green sparkling earrings out there in the darkness, waiting to be noticed with a little grin and a wink. And at the last service, there were two brothers sitting on the front row right in front of the pulpit wearing red sweaters that had Christmas trees on them that lit up, and they lit them up while I was talking. You missed that. Now, for some people, all of that kind of stuff is like a false religion, a form of escape from sadness, sickness, disappointment, and the darkness of the world. But for the rest of us, whether you do this yourself or you see other people around you and enjoy seeing them do it, for the rest of us, it's a reminder that true joy can be found in the midst of those harsh realities, and that as Isaiah has declared to us on this holy night, on those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. That light is the birth of Jesus, who came from the realms of glory as Emmanuel, which means God with us. He has come to share our life not as we wish it to be, but as it really is. He has forgiven us in spite of our failures and our hard-heartedness. And only a love that comes from outside of us, a love that comes from above, embracing the unlovely, the unlovable, those who are suffering, those who are lonely, and those who have been forgotten, only a love like that is able to make real and everlasting the enchantment of this holy night. And we believe that Jesus embodies that love. Earlier today at the first Eucharist of Easter here at Palmer at 4 p.m., our beloved associate rector, the Reverend Liz Parker, was here with her boys, and they sat in the pews right up front in front of the Nativity. And as many of you know, Liz was away from Palmer throughout the season of Advent because her husband, the Reverend Andy Parker, experienced multiple hospitalizations over the last several weeks due to complications from cancer. And Andy died a week before Christmas Day. And his funeral will take place later this week in this church while it is still decorated for this holy season. At the end of November, After having waited with Andy in the emergency room for 11 hours, Liz said she prayed her angry prayer as she sat there, crying out, "God, where are you? I need to see you here." And when they finally got moved into a hospital room, Andy's nurse introduced himself to them by saying, "My name is Emmanuel." The same love that came down at Christmas was in the room with them, surrounding them and comforting them. And here's the thing. The miracle isn't that we only see the love of Jesus reflected in a nurse named Emmanuel, but that we also see the love of Jesus reflected in a nurse named Mary, a janitor named Ronnie, a teacher named Eleanor, a waiter named Joseph, a priest named Molly, a doctor named Carlos, a police officer named Yolanda, a UPS driver named Gabe, a stranger sitting next to us in the pew in the church on Christmas Eve, and a parent named Clyde, Shirley, Dale, or Linda. And those are all real people, by the way. And you know real people in your life who reflect the love of Jesus, the same love that came down at Christmas. And the promise isn't that every story will have a magical ending before the dawn of Christmas morning. No, the promise of the gospel is that God came into the world in a very real way, and that he will always embrace us even through, especially through, our darkest night. What makes this night magical is the belief that God has intervened and is creating a new kingdom where no evil and no disappointment can ever enter. You know, whenever I think back to the times that my own sons as babies fell asleep on my chest, I'm reminded of Mary's newborn child in the manger, and that God chose to appear among us not in a blaze of imperial glory, but with a different kind of glory, that of an infant. That's the mystery of the incarnation that we celebrate tonight. It's the unbelievable fact that God said to his creation, "I love you so very much that I'm willing to become like you. I'm willing to experience what you experience, to feel what you feel, to think what you think, to suffer as you suffer, and yes, even to laugh as you laugh." It is through becoming one of us that God draws us and the whole world to himself. I'd like to close this evening with a meditation, a beautiful meditation on the Nativity by the 16th century reformer Martin Luther, who reminds us to laugh and to trust this newborn child more than we trust ourselves. He says, "Behold Christ lying in the lap of his young mother. Look at the child, knowing nothing, yet all that is belongs to him, that your conscience should not fear, but take comfort in him. Doubt nothing. Watch him springing in the lap of the maiden. Laugh with him. Look upon this Lord of peace, and your spirit will be at peace. See how God invites you in many ways. He places before you a babe with whom you may take refuge. You cannot fear him, for nothing is more appealing to men and women than a babe. Are you affrighted? Then come to him, lying in the lap of the fairest and sweetest maid. You will see how great is the divine goodness which seeks above all else that you should not despair. Trust him. Trust him. Here is the child in whom is salvation. To me," he writes, "there is no greater consolation given to humanity than this, that Christ became man, a child, a babe, playing in the lap and at the breasts of his most gracious mother. Who is there whom this sight would not comfort? Now is overcome the power of sin, death, hell, conscience, and guilt. If you come to this gurgling babe and believe that he is come, not to judge you, but to save." To the words of that meditation, I say amen. And to you all, Merry Christmas.